Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive. This podcast is a pre-recorded radio interview with Chuck Olmstead as the host on a previous KGNW recording in Seattle. Get ready to be encouraged and inspired.
Well, we did a two-part discussion over the last couple weeks about your book, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life. After we finished recording, I said, are we done? And you said,
I can keep talking.
And I said, well, let's do that because we're not done yet. It's kind of like you're in the middle of a conversation and you think you're done, but yet you're not. I just kind of felt like there were a few more things we wanted to share.
And sweet.
We've been talking about your new book, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life. You've been covering the three themes of this book. Let's review real quick.
Yeah, the first theme was knowing who you are and whose you are changes everything. That's the beginning of living an extraordinary life with in partnership with the Lord. The second one is identifying that we need the body of Christ around us to empower us. The Lord utilizes the power of the body of Christ in action to accomplish his perfect will on earth. And as we say yes, it's very rare that God will just utilize our life. He usually wants us to rally around those who love him to accomplish great things. And then the third theme of the book is utilizing our spiritual gifts helps us live the extraordinary. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer, power of our words, hearing the voice of the Lord. And just the power behind each of those things I break down with stories and just personal reflection.
Yeah, and those stories are from, we kind of introduced you at the beginning in part one, but just briefly, you are the president and co-founder of Orphan Relief and Rescue.
Yes.
The organization has been around for about 13 years.
Yes.
You work primarily with orphans, but also with child trafficking. And
yes. Yeah, so we have a staff here in Seattle. Liberia, we have the only hotline. It's an anti-trafficking, anti-abuse hotline in the whole country that we fund. We help kids age out of the orphanage system in a healthy manner, just helping them with education. And then we have two safe homes, one for children and one for girls who've been rescued out of slavery. And our anti-trafficking work in villages, where we literally have intercepted hundreds of kids from being sold to the border of Nigeria and then brought back children from slavery, put them on our program.
Having worked with another organization before that, and now this, you've gained a lot of different experiences about of ministry, of rescuing kids, of helping to restore relationships, of helping to build orphanages or sometimes shut them down because they were mismanaged.
Yes.
And so out of that, you've developed some principles in this book about living an extraordinary life as an ordinary person. And we've talked a lot about the fact that there needs to be an obedience as we hear from the Lord. Hearing from the Lord, that's one of the basic questions that people have in our Christian walk is, how do we hear from the Lord?
Yeah.
How do we do that? How do we do that, Rebecca?
Yeah, so God has given us some great tools that help us in this process. He's given us the Word of God, and that's where things will jump out. It seems like from the page, the Word of God is active, alive is what it says in the scriptures, and that's very true. So that's one way that God speaks to us. Another way is through nature. You watch a sunset and you see the majesty of God. You see, obviously, in Seattle, there's nature everywhere in front of our face and the beauty. That's God speaking to us, telling us how much he loves us, how this is for us. And then he utilizes also people in our path. If they're healthy people, then that we can really listen to. Sometimes they'll speak something to us that shares something directly from the Lord. And through worship music is another thing, through songs that he can speak to us. And some people will say, I even get things through movies. God uses a variety of ways to speak to us. But the thing is he's always trying to get our attention throughout the day. Number one, he's always trying to tell us how much he loves us. The other thing is he's trying to prompt our hearts for little things that he wants us to walk in or to do with acts of kindness for others. I have personally kind of figured out how God speaks to me, not only through those things that I just mentioned, but then I have another test that I put myself through of if it's a bigger thing that God wants me to do, or even if it's to pray for somebody and I'm just hesitant because maybe I don't even like that person really on a friendship level. They're kind of irritating or whatever. And God has these things that disrupt my life to get my attention. It's up to you if you want me to share what those things are.
Oh, absolutely. Go for it.
So the first thing is if he disrupts my sleep, I wake up and I'm agitated with some sort of thought of something that I need to do. And it's usually pray for somebody or take action in a certain way for someone. That is a number one indicator. And then the other indicator is because I love my sleep is really the reason. And right. So if my sleep is disrupted, I'm like, okay, why am I disrupted here? The second thought is if it's not a thought that I would have normally thought of, if it's some random thing that comes into my mind that I would have normally not thought of, for an example, the anti-trafficking stuff, that wasn't even on my radar. And God just started putting these thoughts in my head and putting a plan in my head of how we could curb trafficking in a certain village. Here in America, it's usually praying for somebody or taking action of some sort, helping someone out in some way, going to clean somebody's house or making them dinner or some action. And that thought pops in my head and I'm like, that's not a thought I would have normally thought of. So I'd better pay attention to this one. Then if the thought won't go away and it's this gnawing feeling, it's so gnawing that if I don't take action with it, I'm going to get physically have a stomach ache or not feel right. And for me, it was particularly, I go back to the early days of learning to listen to the voice of the Lord. And one of these examples was praying for a lady to get pregnant, and she had been, I knew, infertile for around 10 years. It was Mother's Day, and I saw her out of my peripheral view, and then the thought came to mind, this day must be very hard for her. And as soon as that thought came, the next thought was, you need to pray for her to have a baby. And I literally went, no, 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 this is not the day to do that, Lord. If that's you, that is not okay. No. And the Lord would not let me rest. And my stomach physically felt sick as I battled through the whole service. And I finally, at the end of the service, knew that was God. And I was not getting away without a stomach ache that day if I did not follow through. And so I beelined to her after service and asked if I could pray for her, and that stomach ache went away. 3 months later, we find out she is pregnant. God works in mysterious ways. I'm not saying that it was my specific prayer that caused that, because I know other people were praying for her too, but I know something happened in the spirit realm that is broken, that the enemy has chains over, that we're literally in the spirit realm breaking those chains from being over those situations when we're praying things into existence, when we're saying yes. Us saying yes to the Lord dispatches his angels from heaven, like it said in Daniel 9 and 10, of the story of as soon as Daniel went to prayer, as soon as his heart went to prayer, the angels were dispatched and were doing battle in the heavenlies. And that is exactly what is happening when we're praying, is we are dispatching the angels over these situations to do battle, to bring God's perfect will into pass. And it's just the way God has set up the laws of the land. When he created the earth, he said, I'm giving you, humans, dominion over the earth. We are to pray those things into existence, and then we are setting into motion his spirit to come in and reign and do those beautiful things that only he can do through our actions and through our prayers.
It is true, isn't it? Because Ephesians talks about the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places.
Yes, yes.
And the reality is that prayer is working in that spiritual realm, that we are not just living in this physical realm. We are spiritual beings living in a human body right now, and we need to acknowledge that there are physical things and there are spiritual things, and prayer is addressing some of that that's occurring in the spiritual realms, and that God wants us to engage in that.
Yes.
So we do that, sometimes without total understanding, but just in obedience.
Yes. I still don't understand fully why he chooses to accomplish his perfect will through these fallible human beings like us who are stubborn, and we have a difficult time even saying yes to what he's asking us to do, but he does. He chooses us to do those things.
Yeah. Don't you think part of that is that was his original intention when he created Adam and Eve?
Yes.
That he had perfect relationship with them. I'm no theologian, but the initial design was that he wanted to partner with humans, with men and women, to fulfill his creative process. At the same time, and please, we can't get into the foreknowledge of God, yet he foreknew. He knew that we were going to fail, that we were going to sin, and that there was going to be a plan of redemption that would take place. I don't understand why God did it that way, but that's how God chose to do it, isn't it? He's wanting to partner with us in this great redemptive plan.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is that when we partner with him, he is taking our ordinary lives and he's making them extraordinary. And these actions, all I can say is to describe what the actions are of his Holy Spirit coming in and doing his thing is extraordinary. And it makes our life extraordinary. So my subtitle is Even Through Difficult Circumstances, because I have lots of people who have come to me and said, it's great that you say you can live this extraordinary life, but I'm going through all this hardship, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, honestly, we're all going through some sort of hardship thing. But that is not contingent on following this extraordinary God and what he wants to do, and the extraordinary things that he wants to do through our ordinary lives is not contingent on the difficult things that we go through. The full title is Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life Even Through Difficult Circumstances, because it's not contingent. His extraordinary ways are not contingent on what we are going through.
I heard Rick Warren say, our life, for the most part, for all of us, is on a dual track, where there is this blessing from the Lord and this kind of, if you want to call it spiritual victory, or this awareness and this beauty, and at the same time, there's turmoil. It's parallel.
Yeah.
Until we die and see our Lord, that is the way life is going to be, because we're still dealing with this physical realm, with sin, with our own passions, with our own mistakes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, God is working in us and through us to accomplish his purposes. And there's that ongoing battle that will continue on through the ages and that we deal with, isn't it?
Yes.
One of the things that you had mentioned and talked about in the book is the power of our words.
Yes.
So not only power of our words to others, but power of words to ourselves.
Just an example, we have a little girl that we rescued. She had been locked in a room by relatives. Her parents had died, and so they were going to sell her into slavery, and they were just waiting for the opportune time to do that. But they kept her locked in a room all day with hardly any food. She screamed every day enough to where the neighbors were in torment over this, called the social welfare office, who then called us, and we put her into our safe home for children. She was so emotionally beaten up. She was beat physically. She said the woman beat her every day. She didn't know why. And it was a submission thing that they do with these kids. But she was so emotionally beaten up as well. And we just started speaking life into her. God loves her. God did not destine her for this type of thing, is what she was taught by her villagers. Her whole life began to transform. Her whole thoughts started transforming as she started building her own personal relationship with Jesus. And we started reading the word. Our staff started reading the word to her daily. And she's a whole different girl now. She is completely different. And these kids, over and over, when we bring the power of Jesus to them through a relationship with him and speak life into their souls, their little souls, their whole life begins to change. We know that what scientists say when we speak, there's a book called Words Can Change Your Brain. It's this whole book about literally the physical realm of what happens in our physical bodies and in our brains when we listen to condemning personal thoughts, or we are listening to others speak death over us, like these kids had listened to. And then the spiritual part, Jesus is telling us all through scripture about the blessing of others, blessing of our own lives. I love how in Ezekiel 37, how God spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophesy over these dead bones, and gave him this whole dream of these dead bones. And as he was started prophesying, to these dry bones to come alive. Flesh came onto these bones and they came alive. And he said, that's how Israel, they literally are dead to me. And I want to bring them alive, alive in me. There's scripture after scripture. I love how David encouraged his soul by singing praise songs to God and was speaking through his singing to himself, encouraging his soul. And that is exactly what God wants us to do on a regular basis. One thing I was purposeful in this book is I put questions of reflection at the end of every chapter. I put a prayer also that you can pray over yourself. I also give you a song that you can look up on the internet after each chapter that meant a lot to me, that just kind of ushers you into the presence of the Lord as you listen to that song. My whole goal in this book is just getting you excited to just become just more intimate with the Lord and to begin to speak life over your spirits and over your souls for health, listening to the power of the Holy Spirit.
What's really interesting is, and I don't think I'm unusual, sometimes I will say something to myself that I would never allow someone else to say to me. If someone spoke to me the way I speak to myself sometimes, I'd fight back. But yet the self-talk of what we're willing to say to ourselves is unhealthy.
Yes.
Because that's really, it's unbelief.
Yes.
First of all, we're saying, I am this, I am whatever. I am, if you want to call it negative thoughts, that are not from the Lord. They're from our own self-loathing that is really a part of selfishness, really, truly. It's a part of our sinful nature.
Yeah.
Where we're saying those things to ourselves that are untruths.
Yep.
God doesn't feel that way about us. We may feel that way about us, but God doesn't. And it's learning how to restructure our thoughts towards ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
That really makes a difference.
Yeah, I loved how God said David in the Bible was a man after his own heart, and David was blessing himself all through the Psalms. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. It's bless my soul, bless, bless, bless. And we need to be doing that to bless our soul. That's a mandate from the Lord. To we're his creation. We're his pride and joy. And if we're self-talking to ourselves in a negative way, we're literally, in a sense, just saying, God, shame on you for making me this way in this area. Obviously, if it's a sin thing, we need to repent and move on. But if it's literally walking through the day, we need to just bless our souls through our speech and our words.
Yeah,
it's and true. Our actions.
And our actions, yeah. When it's self-talk, it may not just be your inner voice. It may be speaking out loud to yourself, maybe not around a bunch of other people, but in our car, in our private moments, in our homes, whether it needs to be within our own mind or out loud, just blessing the Lord, blessing his work in our lives.
And blessing others.
Yes.
You know, that's the biggest thing, using our life to be a blessing. Like God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And so using our lives and our voice and our everything that we're doing to bless others is the way to live this extraordinary life that the Lord has intended us to live.
Rebecca, I'm looking at page 90 here because you were talking about some of the things that you're doing in your book, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life. And you share the scripture from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. And then you ask a question for personal reflection. That's part of what you're doing in each chapter. What is something that needs a part of heaven brought to earth through your life? And then a personal prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit in my life. I thank you that I do not have to figure out what to pray, what to action to take, because you will guide and direct through your Spirit. And then you go on with the prayer. So then you suggest the song, The Atmosphere is Changing by Elevation Music. So you have those suggestions in each chapter, don't you?
Yes.
Some practical ways that we can process through some of these things that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I say, if you want to ignite, encourage, inspire your life, ultimately, when you're inspired, you're going to inspire those around you, then get this book. It's really going to help you in your walk with the Lord. And it's called Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life, Even Through Difficult Circumstances. And you can get it on Amazon.com. The Orphan Relief and Rescue organization that I'm the president of is orphanreliefandrescue.org. My personal website is Rebecca M. Pratt with two T's .com.
Chapter 14 is the ultimate key to living an extraordinary life. Mm-hmm. So you give a great summary that we're not going to reveal here. We're going to tease people so that they'll pick up the book. It's the ultimate key to living an extraordinary life, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life, Even Through Difficult Circumstances, by Rebecca Pratt. So Rebecca, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.